Next week, Pastor Gary begins a series on Lent. And as we've already, calendar-wise, we've already entered Lent 2 weeks ago. But today, we want to bring you the last of our series in the family. All of them from the Old Testament, they've been. And all of them have been stories of disaster and disappointment. And then great outcomes of the incredible faithfulness and goodness and the mercy of God. By now you realized what an incredible failure we are. Even as the people of God, even the heroes of old, the ones who made history in our Bibles, the ones that God wanted us to know about, all of them with terrible flaws somewhere in their family line. These are stories not about what people can do with broken lives. They're stories about what God can do with broken people and how he redeems them. Maybe you see yourself inside these families, ordinarily, very ordinary, not really accomplishing much in life, not making a big difference, not worth writing about. And yet the story of Ruth is a story just like that, ordinary. And if it wasn't in the Bible, we hardly would take note of it. A tragedy? Yes. We're no stranger to tragedies. We've been facing terrible tragedies in our families just in these last weeks, haven't we? Nothing much more than that. Maybe the fact that she was a foreigner from Moab, was an enemy of Israel. Who were the Moabites? Where did Ruth come from? Moab. Moab was the incestuous son of Lot, Abraham's nephew, who was saved out of the fire when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet God made a nation out of them before Israel ever came to be, was the nation of Moab. And God gave them a portion of land in the Middle East. It was in the region of present-day Jordan, just across the Jordan River. They were a neighbor to Israel. It ceased to exist as a nation or a people about 400 BC. And the Bible says that the family of Naomi moved there to escape a famine. But death followed them there. And so out of this broken family, out of the story of Ruth, I want to focus on three lessons for our spiritual growth. Open with me the Word of God to Ruth chapter 1. The first lesson is this, that God calls us to leave completely what hinders and follows where he leads. Sorry, let me say that again. God calls us to leave completely what hinders and follow where he leads. Naomi is on her way back to Israel and tells both of her bereaved daughters-in-law to go back home to their people and to their gods and their customs in Moab. The inheritance laws only passed the land from male to male. Women had no rights through inheritance, and Ruth, being a foreigner, made it all the more hopeless a situation. Each would be better off in their own country. But that is where Naomi is wrong. Look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. One of them, Orpah, though with tears, leaves for home. But Ruth clung to Naomi and would not leave. Why does Naomi speak this way? She is the worst evangelist ever. She speaks this way because she has no hope. She only has faith enough to go back where she came from. But this story shows how complete the break with our past must be. Ruth chose a seemingly hopeless path, But because she chose God, she gained a life. Orpah chose the seemingly safe life, and she chose for herself death. Folks, you're going to have to make the same break with whatever pulls you away from God. For some of you, it will be your family. Yes, your family. You say, well, I thought the series was about family. It is. And family, for most people in the world, is a reason why they will not come to Christ. They hear the words of Christ. They even believe it to be true. But their family will look at them badly if they come to commit. And they will lose something. Then is true these verses from Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. If anyone loves his father or mother more than me, he is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who doesn't take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. For others, it will be their faith culture that they must leave behind. My daughter asked me more than once, do you think, Dad, you would be a follower of Jesus if you had come from a different background? Or would you be one of those who says, I was brought up this way, so that's what I believe? And I like to think if I had heard the message of Christ, I would have followed. Because the God we serve doesn't contradict himself. He makes sense. But this idea we now have in the West, that all faiths are equally true, it's illogical. They cannot all be true because they contradict each other. But we did hear the message, didn't we? And we need to thank God that he revealed himself to us and is still revealing himself to us. For some, it will be family. For others, a matter of faith culture. And for others of you, it will be your friends that you'll have to leave when you choose God. But you must choose. I know someone, a child of a friend of mine, who's struggling right now. He's made a profession of faith, but he doesn't want to leave the friends of his past. He's living a party life. He sees nothing wrong with it. Only he cannot see that he must make a break with what is pulling him away from God. And Ruth teaches us this reality. The second lesson, the extravagant goodness of God. Gleaning grain is hard work, but this is the only way Ruth knows is going to get food on the table for her and Naomi. Boaz asks about Ruth, who she is. Then he goes to her and introduces himself to her and offers her water to drink. Everyone has heard of her and what she has done for her mother-in-law, how she has helped Naomi and made a commitment to the God of Israel. He speaks kindly to her, and he helps her. He immediately shows her respect and honors her. And then he makes sure that she has something to eat and that she will bring something home for Naomi. Boaz has compassion on her. He's a godly man and a relative taking care of someone who needs help. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find the goodness of God. Not just a little, a lot of goodness. Or you may be like Boaz, the one who gives help. I know of so many stories where the people of God have been the extravagant goodness of God to someone in need. We heard about that this morning. It doesn't have to be a material gift. A pastor told this story. He grew up on a successful dairy farm in Saskatchewan. He wanted the farm. He loved to farm. But he felt God was calling him to be a pastor. He was torn between the two, but acted on the call of God and became a pastor. Pastors are not called to material wealth. And one night, he was at the bedside of one of his dying parishioners, and she, with tears in her eyes, said to him, "Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for leading my daughter to trust in Jesus Christ." And it was then that he realized just how much he had gained. far more than any cows give milk, far more than acres of land farmed, money earned, bushels produced. He'd given the gift of eternal life, the immeasurable value of a soul. You are part of God's incredible plan to bless those who are coming to Jesus. You see, we have the idea, and I have it too, that God promises to give us just what we need, that he never goes beyond that. We must be careful. There's only so much to go around, you know. And so many of us in the family of God, we give sparingly, not understanding how extravagant God has been to us. I want to be careful about what I say here, because I don't believe the Bible teaches a prosperity gospel, but the Bible does teach the unlimited resources of a loving and caring God. Surely Jesus teaches us this in the feeding of 5,000. There was enough and to spare. God is without limit what he can do. It is by faith of his people that he acts by his will. We miss something if we think in too narrow a way that God will not act in lavishness like he did here for Ruth through Boaz. He is so generous. And when Ruth comes home to Naomi at dark that night with a sack of grain she can hardly carry, Naomi takes notice. In Ruth chapter 20, chapter 2, verse 20, she says, "The Lord bless him. He's not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative, and he's one of our kinsmen redeemers." God is good, even when things look bad. And God loves to give you what he has for his glory. My family and I went to Breakforth Edmonton a few years back. Some of you were there. Pastor Francis Chan opened the conference with this story of his little church in a big city in Texas. He was a pastor there, and his little church offered to run the soup kitchen for a meal. By faith, they offered to do it. They were to feed hundreds that day, but they were such a small group, maybe like ours here. And he said they wondered how they were going to do it. He just told them God would provide. They prayed and trusted, watching to see what would happen. The day came close, still no answer from God. Then the day before they were to prepare the meal, people were getting nervous. And the church got a call from a local grocery store. Their power had gone off the night before. All their meat was compromised and had to be used in a hurry. They didn't know what to do with it, so they called the church. "Can you do anything with all this meat?" These stories aren't isolated like we heard today. Over and over again, we hear that God supplies. Whether you need help like Ruth, or God is calling you to give a hand like Boaz, give God a chance. He knows, he cares, he can be trusted. And if we are in his will, the answer will always be yes. Let yourself be vulnerable. I don't know how. You don't know either, but he does. Praise God, he does. One more lesson. It's just as important. Boaz makes everything legal. You see, when Ruth presented herself to Boaz, as we read in chapter 3, he knew what she was asking for. She was asking for protection and for shelter. And she was willing to be his wife. In today's world, they would have become lovers right then and there, not give any thought to the process or the decency or the legality of what should be. Leave the formalities for later. Seize the moment. After all, that would be more romantic, wouldn't it? But not here. Look at chapter 3 from verse 11. "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you're a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here till morning. So she lay at his feet till morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. Boaz hears the request from Ruth, but tells her the way that it must be done. By law, a brother-in-law would be the one to marry Ruth. But since there is none, the next of kin must take that duty on himself. Someone must take care of her and her mother-in-law. But it is a burden. It is a hardship for the nearer kinsman. And in chapter 4, you read that he is not willing to do it. But Boaz doesn't see it that way. He doesn't see it as a burden at all. He sees it as his benefit that he will have a wife of noble character, a woman of faith in God who saves. But he's not willing to go outside of the law to take what is being offered to him. And that's important to note. Boaz, out of love for God and the kindness of his heart, takes the widow and redeems her legally in the presence of witnesses. He redeems the land and the widow for the sake of the dead relative. Here's the point. We are to live a life of grace and mercy in the confines of the law of God. Boaz stayed inside the law of God and his culture. There was legality and there was protection. And in this world where laws are changing rapidly against what the Word of God says, hold on to the truth of the commandments of God. In them is protection, and in them is security that you are doing the will of God. Set them as a circumference around you, which you will not pass. Just like someone coming into a country legally has nothing to fear. In fact, is protected by the law of the land. So those who follow the laws of God have nothing to fear from God. Of course, you know another descendant of Boaz, and his name is Jesus. And by now you realize Boaz is so much like our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would not circumvent the law, but fulfilled the law to save us. And that's why it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive full rights of sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also heir. Folks, nowhere in the Bible, nowhere is that verse brought more to reality than in the story of Ruth and Boaz. Jesus is like Boaz. And we are like Ruth, hopeless, lost, without any hope. Can you see it? You come to Jesus like Ruth comes to Boaz. And you, like Ruth, you place yourself at the feet of Jesus. And you, like Ruth, have nothing to offer but your fidelity. You make your request for protection, a covering. And Boaz, like Jesus, extravagant, full of goodness, full of love, sees you not as a burden, And because his love for you, he goes through what the laws demand, and he does what the law requires. And so legally, he redeems us in the presence of his people and in the eyes of his own Father. Why? So that we may be called the sons of God and heir of the promise. And that's why Jesus lived the perfect life. That's why Jesus died that horrible death on the cross, fulfilling the will of the Father, paying the price of our redemption. Do you understand it? Will you put your trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord? Billy Graham died this week. We used to watch Billy Graham on TV as a family. When he came on, they put the other programs aside. It was Billy Graham, and it was a prime time. It was a simple message about trusting in Christ and repenting of sin that broke through to me. I still remember the night that I trusted in Christ. I still remember my simple prayer to God that night. It was the beginning of something I can only say was the most important day, though my understanding was so small. It was the day Jesus redeemed me. Today could be that day for you. Folks, I want to ask you today, what's keeping you from coming to this, our wonderful Savior? What keeps you from trusting in the goodness and the lavish grace of Jesus Christ? What keeps you from being like God to those around you, like Boaz was, who have come to you for protection, who have come to you for help? Will you be like Jesus to them? Don't forget, you come from a family, a long line of the redeemed. Amen. God bless you all.